Yeah, come into a home near you tonight. We begin a four-week study on hearing God through this series in 12 host home groups. We're calling these journey groups. And they're meeting throughout the region, and it begins tonight at 6:30. Is that right? Six, yeah. There'll be a home fellowship kind of thing, a fellowship time to bring a food to share with and to visit. I'm going to let you know right now, if you have your fold, you have an insert with all the places that are meeting this week, this evening. In Dublin, it will be Jim and Susan Ballard. Jim and Susan, would you stand up? Yes, stand up. Okay. Also, at the Cottonwood area, Keith and Rebecca Owen, would you all stand? Okay. In Stephenville, calling this West, Rusty and Belinda Kestel, where are you guys? Y'all going to stand? Yeah, thanks. Keep standing? Okay, y'all keep standing, okay. Wayne and Charlene Frank, South, that's between on 281, right, just toward Selden. Central will be Les and Jeanette Maxwell. She asked everybody to stand. You better stand. Okay. Who? Well, I didn't. Oh, there it is. Rod and Candy Rutledge. Thanks. Yeah. East, Highway 281, but that's north. Okay. Lingleville, Brad and Brandon Stanford. So, yeah. Bunyan, if there's any Bunyan people here, yeah, that's the area too. Proctor area is Homer and Carol Griggs. Would you stand? Okay. Comanche would be Guy and Cindy Viss, and they're the one group that's meeting immediately after church today, okay, at their home. Huckabee is Dale and Kathy Collum, all right. Kevin and LaDon Wenzel is in Hyco, you guys right over here. Morgan Mill will be Chance and Chelsea, Yankee. And Dillion will be Josh and Letha Weathers, great. And John Ann and I are planning on being there with you tonight, so looking forward to it. Y'all remain standing. Let's pray together and ask that God would just really move in mighty ways through our homes tonight. And then as we prepare for this message for the next few minutes together. Father God, I want to thank you so much that you are this transcendent God that desires to speak to us, that desires to show himself. And Lord, as we begin, launch these 4 weeks in homes, just through the region, Lord, in a three-county area, want to ask God that you would go before us and behind us. You'd be our front and you'd be our rear guard. That, Lord, that as we move into homes tonight and fellowship and pray and talk and open the Word, that God, that you would speak in mighty ways. And that God, somehow over the next few weeks, Lord, together, that, Lord, that we would be positioning ourselves to really follow hard after you. Lord, you say that the sons of God are those who are led by the Spirit of God. And we want to be led by the Spirit of God. You say in Scripture, Jesus, you said this, that your family is the ones that hear the Word and obey the Word. That you spoke to the enemy and said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Lord, you desire to speak, to prompt, to prompt, Lord, in your kingdom, to advance your kingdom. Lord, you speak to encourage us, to lift us up, to warn us, to exhort us. Lord, and I just ask, Lord, that if there's somehow over the next 4 weeks where 250, 300, 350, 400 of us every single day are asking you to speak to us, that we might be a part of your kingdom even more so. Lord, you've prompted us in the past. We know that, to pick up a phone, speak to someone. You've spoken to us and given us direction in big, big decisions. You spoke to us, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that if there's anybody in here today that said, Lord, I just don't know if I've ever heard you, I pray that today would be a day. Today would be a day. Go before us, Lord, we pray. Father, I ask that you would bless the opening of your word this morning. I ask that you'd speak to us, that you'd show us great and mighty things from it, that your Spirit would rest upon the spoken word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to just talk a little bit about this whole thought of hearing God. 4 weeks ago, we were in the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus in Luke chapter 10. And you remember the story where Martha was just really busy with stuff. And yet Mary was sitting at his feet, moreover, listening to the word of the Lord. Love that. Moreover, listening to the word of the Lord. And Martha was upset with that. She was upset that this sister was, who was supposed to be helping with all the preparations, was letting her serve all alone. And so in that moment, Jesus says, Martha, listen, you're worried and you're bothered about so many things, but really one thing is necessary, and your sister Mary has chosen it. She's chosen the good part that will never, ever be taken away from her. And over the last 4 weeks, we've talked about this whole thought of choosing the one thing necessary, and we've discovered that that one thing necessary is Jesus. And when we choose him, we're making this commitment to hear his voice and to follow him, period. That's just it. We're making this choice to hear the word of God and then to move from that place of hearing to follow him and obey him. When Jesus was speaking at the Sermon on the Mount, he came to the end in chapter 7. He said, listen, do you want to know who a wise man is? A wise man is the person who builds his house upon the rock. And who is that? That's the one who hears the word, hears these words of mine, and then he does them. The foolish person, the fool, is the one who will hear the word and walk away from it and not do it. He builds his house, or she builds her house, on the sand. Storms come, rain comes against it, and burst against two houses. One falls, one remains strong. The one that remains strong has been founded upon the rock. And how is it founded upon the rock? Because that person, that man, that marriage, that family, that church chose when they heard God that they would follow through with what God was asking them to do. They would obey. Jesus said this. He said it in John chapter 10. He said, is it on the screen? He said in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Before that, in verse 14, he said, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. So there's relationship here. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when we looked at Paul. When Paul said, listen, there's just one thing I'm doing. I'm forgetting what lies ahead behind, and I'm pressing forward to what lies ahead. I'm forgetting those things in the past, and I'm pressing on to know Christ Jesus. I want to know him. I want to have a relationship with him. And let me just say this. You can't have a relationship with anybody unless you're communicating. You can't have a relationship with them. You know, you don't know this about myself, but when I was 3, I met the Three Stooges. For real. Yeah, I met them. I met the Three Stooges. Yeah. Wow. I was little, but I remember it. And they were just as funny with me that they were on, you know, television. But I didn't know them. I knew who they were, and I knew about them, and I liked watching them. And I really liked Larry because he showed a lot of attention to me that day. And it was just for a few moments, but I didn't know them. We walked away from there. I didn't have a conversation with them. I didn't communicate with them. I met them, but I didn't know them. You can know a lot about somebody and never know them. People can know a whole lot about you and they never know you. There's got to be a communication piece where I'm speaking into that life and letting that person speak into my life. This is what the relationship with God's all about. This is what Christianity's all about, that we have a God who wants to speak to us, know us, walk with us, live in us, wants everything about us. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. He's not some God way out there who doesn't want to have anything new to you with you. He wants to have everything to do with you. So he reveals himself to us, and he speaks to us, and he uses this motif in John. He says, listen, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. They respond to me. And that's powerful to me. That's powerful. Listen, we've all heard If you're a believer in Christ, since some point you have heard God speak to you in the still small voice, through the word, through somebody else, you heard God speak. I was in a meeting last week, 2 weeks ago, and it was a board meeting of an organization that I serve on. And I met a board member there that's been on the board as long as I have, but he's never been to a meeting. So I got the meeting. And he happened to have written a book. And this book was a parable about, it's called The Difference Maker. And he gave everybody a copy. And I went home and opened it up and read it in about a couple of hours. And I was going to tell you, God spoke to me. God showed me some things. Showed me some things about me. Showed some things about the dreams that I've had in the past. God spoke to me through that author, through that friend now. Now, well, I don't know him yet, so yeah, just met him. And so God speaks. God has spoken in his word. We're going to see here in just a moment. He speaks to us in groups. He speaks to us through messages, through books, through devotions. God speaks. And isn't it interesting that when we're seeking him on a daily basis, how often the word of God will come to us and line up to exactly the things that we're needing to hear. Some of you need to hear a word of encouragement today. Some of you need to hear that God is saying it's going to be okay. And you know what that is? That's just based on Romans chapter 28 that says everything's going to be okay. Everything is going to be fine. Everything's going to work out for your good. That's a promise. It's a promise from Scripture. And so, you know, we can look at that Scripture and memorize it, but never really hear it from God. Never really hear. We can open the Word of God, and we can read it from cover to cover, and we can read it every day for the next 50 years, and read our Bible through, and still not hear God. We position ourselves, though, through the Word of God to do that. Very, very important. You're going to be hearing about that tonight, about how when I hear God and listen for God, we need to ask the question, is this scriptural? It's the very first question. Is it scriptural? Is it in the Word? Is that line up with God? Is it line up with God's character? We have an opportunity to hear God. And we're going to be talking about this over the next few weeks, how we've heard God individually and how we've heard God as corporately as a church, and where God has sent us and where God is bringing us. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to hear God? Do you want to hear him, led by the Spirit, to hear his voice, to follow him? Well, let me just share a couple of things with you in just the next few minutes. Let me tell you a couple of things that I think is really important. Number one, have a passion to know him and hear him. Make that your number one passion in your life. A passion to know him and to hear him. Now, that's a dangerous thing, isn't it? Because when I hear God, that means when he talks and speaks, that I have a decision to make. And that decision could be a hard one for our flesh. It can be a very hard one. Matter of fact, that's why a lot of folks just walk through life saying, I don't know if I want to hear God. I don't know if I want to give him everything because I'm afraid he might ask me to do something I don't want to do. Well, let me just say this. Your flesh doesn't want to do anything God asks. Okay? That's just the bottom line. Your flesh doesn't really want to do anything that God would ask you to do. So let's just settle that right now. But I want to tell you, when you look at the benefits that we're going to see in just a moment of hearing God and forsaking him, just like we talked about just a moment ago, even if we suffer for him, when we lay down our life for him, even in those things, there's such great benefit. There's such great joy. There's such great life when we hear God and we follow him. So have a passion for it. The verse of scripture that I thought of was in Psalm. It's Psalm 28, verse 1. To you, O Lord, I call. My rock, do not be deaf to me. For if you are silent to me, I will become like those who go down to the pit. In other words, if I don't hear you, God, I'm as good as dead. I'm as good as dead. You know, we all have gone to a viewing at a funeral or before the funeral. And when we view the corpse, we look at it, and you have people who will speak to it, touch it, stroke it. You'll even say this sometimes, boy, they sure did a good job with him. Heard that? He's looking good. right? But can that corpse hear you? Can that corpse respond? Does that corpse feel? No, it's just a shell. It's just a shell. It's just the carton. That's all it is. And David says, listen, God, if I don't hear you, if you're deaf to me and silent to me, listen, I'm going to become like one of those sitting in a funeral home as a corpse that can't hear anything, can't see anything, can't touch anything, can't smell anything. And, oh, God, I don't want that. I want to hear you. I want to hear you. So have a passion to know him, to hear him. The second thing is believe the powerful impact on hearing his word. Believe the powerful impact on hearing his word. Now, there are tons of scriptures, and if you've been to any kind of study that we've done here, you know that I have some favorites about hearing word. And so if you're new to me, you'll hear my favorite for the first time. I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19 for just a moment. Psalm 19. The powerful impact of God's word. The powerful impact of his scripture, of the Bible, of the word of God. Look at verse 7, if you would. And I'm just going to just kind of breeze through this, and maybe we'll come back and look at some of the ways God does this. But first of all, notice what he says. He says that the law of the Lord is perfect. Notice what it does. It restores the soul. The testimony of the Lord, it is sure. It makes wise the simple. Verse 8, the precepts of the Lord, they're right. They rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It enlightens the eyes. So notice, the word of God, that God has spoken, that God has written on pages for us. Listen, and has written in our hearts, the scripture says, if we've come to him. He says that this word, that this scripture, this is so perfect that it restores the soul. When responding properly to it, when believing in it, it will restore the soul. No matter where your soul has been. And you know what? We all know that when we come into this life, we are fallen. We are broken. We are sinful. We are sinners. We ache. We ache over the mistakes, over the sin that we've walked in. And the Bible said that the Bible, the Word of God, is so strong and so perfect that it restores all of that. It renovates it. He says it's so great that it makes you wise. And you can be a simple person and confess, I'm nothing but a simple person. But let me tell you, a life in God's word and hearing him will make you wise. It'll make you wise. Now listen, wisdom is not just knowing the right thing. Wisdom, according to scripture, is knowing it and doing it. It makes you wise. The scripture is very clear. It targets the soul. It targets your mind. It targets your lifestyle. And the scripture will go on and listen, watch what he says. It will also rejoice the heart. It'll take a broken heart and heal it and mend it so that you're rejoicing in it. It enlightens the eyes. Have you ever seen somebody whose eyes were enlightened? You're talking to them and it's like, can you see it? Right? See it one more time? Yeah. And you knew by just their eyes, the enlightening of the eyes, that they got something in their heart. I've been there. You've been there. And you know, that's what God does when he speaks to us through his word. He enlightens the eyes. He gives us insight like we've never had before. And I don't know about you, but when those things are happening to me, I can't wait to get back into scripture. I can't wait to get back to the Bible study. I can't wait to get back to the word. But you know what else I can't wait to do? I can't wait to get back with you. I can't wait to get back with the fellowship, to be able to share what God is doing as he's speaking to us. Folks, that's why we're having groups over the next 4 weeks. That's why we have Bible studies. That's why we have men's groups and ladies' groups, and they meet all over the place. It's so that we can gather around the word and feast on that word, and maybe in those moments, God would have a specific word for us. That's why we have devotion. That's why we have quiet time. That's why we have these things. It's because, why? Because that's our nourishment. He calls the word God's bread for goodness sake. And we don't live on physical bread alone. We live on every word that comes out of God's mouth. I love what he goes on to say. He says, listen, all this, hearing God, it's more desirable than gold. It's better than gold. It's sweeter than honey. It's sweeter than the drippings of the honeycomb. And my translation of that is, it's better than money and it tastes better than food. That's how great Scripture is. That's how great it is to hear God, for God to speak to us. And my prayer is just in the next few minutes as we close this out, is that we would just have this passion to hear God, a passion to run to His Word, a passion to say, God, speak to me. Show me through the filter of Your Word what You're saying to me in these days. May the Word speak to your heart. May you expect something every time you come into this place, every time you go into a Sunday school class, every time you open your Bible, your Word, every time you gather with believers, that there be such this expectation that the power of God's Word and the benefit of it is so great that I want to feast on it. Oh, that's my prayer for us. It's how we choose the right thing. It's how we choose the good thing. It's how we do that. You know, I think if when I hear God, when God speaks, let me tell you just a couple of things that happens to me. When I hear God, number one, it either brings faith or it builds my faith. And that's what the Bible does. It says in Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Listen, when we're talking about these things tonight, next week, and you're talking about God's Word, listen, when you're hearing God, if it's not building faith, if it's not spurring you on in faith, then listen, there's something missing here. It'll always build your faith. It'll always cause you to expect such great things from this great God. You know, and I ask this often. I said, you know, it may be a very stale time in your faith. It may be a really hard season. It may be something that you're saying, I'm just not hearing God. Well, maybe you've lost the passion for that. Or maybe your faith is just kind of crashed here and there on what God wants to do in your life. And you know what? And if that's where you are, I pray that today, whatever you read, whatever comes off the page of the Scripture, is that it would birth faith new, that it would believe. The second thing that it does is that it brings a greater joy. It brings a greater joy, a faith to believe and a joy that I live out of. How many of us are joyful this week? How many of us are finding such great joy in life? John 15:11 says, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and your joy may be made full. What? A full joy? Yeah, that's what happens when we hear God. It brings joy to our heart. It brings joy to our mind and our spirit. Any one of us who have spent any time in the Word, any time pursuing God knows that. It brings joy. And maybe if the enemy has been killing your joy, maybe it's time for you to run back to God in such a way to say, God, I want to hear you. In the midst of the circumstances, in the midst of the hard things, in the midst of some losses, God, I want to hear you. And I'll drive myself back, this passion for it. A third thing that I find that it does is it always will bring instruction. You know, God wants to show you the proper response, how to respond. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and I will teach you in the way you should go and I will counsel you with my eye upon you. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the paraclete, the counselor, the one called alongside to help. He's wanting to speak to us. You know, I have a few illustrations here and don't have the time to speak of them. Maybe we'll get to some of them next week. But you know, I think about just, I'll tell you one that I just really am grateful for. It's found in Proverbs, and it says this. It says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. And that's an instruction. That's instruction. If I hear that word, and I'm walking, and I'm having a problem with a spouse, I'm having a problem at work, a teacher, school. And have you ever been in a fight? I'm not talking this kind. Maybe some of you have been in this kind, but I'm talking about a word fight emotionally. And then all of a sudden this person speaks and then you feel accused and so you bite back. And then they feel accused and then they bite back. And it's tit for tat. Do you know how God would instruct you as believers? The very first time you felt this thing boiling up, you would find one, at least one portion, one thing in there that person is right. Listen, it may be just that much, but I'll take responsibility for it. And the Bible says, listen, a gentle answer turns to wrath. And I know what some of you are saying, well, I tried that and it didn't work. Listen, keep at it. Keep at it. Gentle answers turn away wrath. Humility turns away wrath. I think about the whole thought of anxiety and how we walk in anxiety. And there's a great passage in Philippians chapter 4, isn't there, Scott? Scott's life verse. And what does it say in that passage? It says, listen, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's instruction. That instructs you. That builds your faith. That builds your faith because if the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, you don't have to be anxious, I can agree with that by faith. And say, I don't have to be anxious about this. That I can pray about it and thank God in it and find the peace that surpasses all understanding. You know what? Peace that surpasses all understanding means? It means you have a peace and you don't understand how you got that peace. That's what that means. I've got a peace and I don't understand it. My circumstances are still the same, but I've got a peace and I'm no longer anxious in spirit. God has instructed me. God will instruct you. And listen, I can go on and on. We can go on and on about what God says he'll do in his word. What God says he'll do when he hears us. It produces courage. It'll produce assurance. It'll produce the proper response. God does this. He does this for us when we hear him. So have a passion to know him and hear him and believe the powerful impact of hearing his word. And then thirdly, determine right now, right here, that when God speaks, I'm going to follow. I'm going to follow because that's what sheep do. I'm going to respond appropriately and I'm going to obey what he's asking me to do. I don't know if I've said this in a while, but I'll ask you this question right now. What's the last thing that God has asked you to do that you've not done? Oh, some of you just said, oh, I wish you wouldn't have said that. Because I know exactly. I know exactly. You know, if God has spoken to you and asked you to do something that you've not done in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 months, maybe it's time to say, God, I'm gonna do by the power of God's Spirit what you've asked me to do. Determined to do that. The fourth thing, final thing. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Memorize it. Speak it. Hear it. Do it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Think about it. Choose the one thing. It's God's revelation of himself. That's what's so powerful about the written word here. That God wants to use it to speak to your heart. Listen, and if you know it, and God comes along, and he prompts you with something, and you know it, you know that word, you know what he has said, and you talk to somebody about it, you get counsel about it. Yeah, there's some other things that you're going to see tonight. But listen, determine to do that. Determine that you're going to obey and that you're going to read, you're going to study, you're going to memorize. And it's not going to become rote. It's life. It's something that I'm always looking forward to. You know what I love so much about meeting with all of you? I can't think of anybody in this room that I've not met with that I enjoy, that I meet with. It's that I believe that you have a hunger for God and his word. A hunger to talk about it, speak about it, and live it. And that's why I love being your pastor. That's why I love it. And I really think and believe that we have such a great opportunity in the next 4 weeks to position ourselves to hear him like never before. You know, it's sort of like, have you ever, I mean, I'm a sports fan, I've been watching sports since I was 4 and 5. And, you know, there's some things that I remember. I remember when Bart Starr snuck in over the Dallas Cowboys and won. I remember that when I was little. And one day, a couple of weeks ago, it came up, or a couple months ago, it came up. And I thought, did my TV look like that? Did that picture look like that? I don't remember my picture looking like that. I mean, it's grainy. You can barely see it. And the graphics, well, they didn't even have graphics then. And that's because I got an HD TV. And can I tell you this? That's how God wants to speak to you. In HD. Clear. All the way. Crystal clear. Now, there is mystery. Please, there is mystery about this. Sometimes there is struggle with it. Sometimes there is, not discounting that, but God wants to speak to you. Bow with me in prayer, and ushers, would you come forward for the morning offering? Oh God, I pray for every one of us in here today, every man, every woman, every mom, every dad, every son, every daughter, you'd ignite a passion to hear you. You ignite in us to know that this is our life. This is who God is. And this is how God speaks and what God does to us. And how God ministers to and how he works with us. And God, I just pray for this just passion, this undying desire to know you in every way, in everything. And God, I just want to thank you for that, that you speak. Lord, we're about to take offering. And you've spoken to many of us in this place about our giving. And we give with such joy today and with such faith today because you've instructed us on how to do that. And so offering today is not, God, some exercise. It is a response, Lord, of how you've taught us, how you've spoken to us, how we've developed the convictions that we develop. So I want to praise you for offering today. I want to thank you for it. I want to thank you for those who so generously support your work through tithes and offerings. And God, I just ask you'd bless the gift, you'd bless the giver, that God, that you'd be glorified and that you'd be honored as we seek hard after you. God, bless these next 4 weeks, I pray. Prompt those in this place to go be a part of the body meeting throughout the region. And thank you for what you will do and how you will do it. And I ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. All God's people said, amen. All right, God.